From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report for the 18th day of October 2016. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson. He's at L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana. We'll check the agricultural news for the afternoon, check in also with the state statisticians from Illinois, Indiana, Minnesota, and Iowa, and see what crop progress looks like, harvest across the Corn Belt, and then as we close out our time together, we'll discuss the weather forecast. That with Don Day of Day Weather from Cheyenne, Wyoming, right here on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Find us online and a way to purchase your tickets for the Farm Assets Conference at WILLAG.org.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
It is Tuesday, the 18th day of October. We're now joined by Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana, to talk a bit about what happened in Chicago at the CME Group. Good afternoon to you, Wayne. You know, farmers, I know, have been busy in your area. Do they have much left to cut?
You know, the beans are all but done over here. We're making tremendous progress on the corn. You know, we're ahead of the national averages. You know, they said we were only 46% done with corn, but I'm going to say our area is more in the 65% done with corn, and we're probably on the 80 to 85% done with beans in our area. Bean yields have been very, very outstanding. You know, a lot of them 10 to 20 bushels better than they ever had before on their farms. So that's been big, and corn hasn't been quite the way that the government's crop ratings went. We've had some very, very good yields over here, but none of them are bad. It's just we were expecting really, really good.
Yeah, so let's talk a little bit more about the beans. We had a pretty good-sized rally in the beans. Actually, corn and beans have both rallied nicely off some lows. Yesterday was kind of a big day for the soybeans. However, setting back today, it was said that part of that was on palm oil. Were there any other influences in the marketplace that you could find yesterday for the soybeans?
Well, the palm oil was one of the big things along the way. We also saw a little sell-off of the dollar. Yesterday's went along, and we've got a lot of commercials that like to own a few more beans out here, so the hedge pressure wasn't bad on the beans either. They were just wanting to buy and own some. So all those things put together, and you know, a little rain in some of the areas on Sunday that kept a few people out. I think that we just had less pressure coming down. We also, you know, we're taking a look at some of the resistance and support levels, and basically today we went up to that resistance, that 986 to 87, and that's when we started backing off, Todd. So we just wonder if these trading ranges are going to hold through the rest of the week.
And if they don't, where do we go?
Well, that depends on, I think, you know, if we look, like I said, we pushed up against the top resistance today. The support's down around the 965 range as far as the November beans go. And remember, options go off Friday. So, you know, is there somebody, some of these guys holding a lot of $10 calls and puts that might sort of, that's a big area, that even money. So will they try to run towards that so options go off useless as far as Friday goes for some of the people hanging on? But that's one of the things, of an idea of where they might shoot for. I think it's going to be awfully hard to take it down to the 950, whereas the other level there's a lot of option open interest at. So we think, if anything, that some of the funds might be pushing towards the upside of things. But like I say, today it did not seem to push through that resistance and backed off later in the day.
And so I gather that no matter what the move is, at least for Friday, you're thinking maybe it's chasing some folks in the market out and not to worry that the fundamentals will come back into play?
Well, I think, yes, I think that we're looking a lot at that. I think that we are seeing the commercials want to be very aggressive buyers of what they can buy in the cash market here now. We've heard of some commercials loading 175 or 200 cars and leaving sit on the sidings so that they make sure that they have beans to go to the right place come the next 30 days, not knowing where they're going to be able to buy beans and where they won't be able to buy beans from farmers. So they're just keeping in there and being ready to go so they can keep up this strong export sales we've got going on and keep shipping beans out as fast as we can before those South American beans come online.
What are the primary factors you've been watching in the corn market?
Well, I think the corn market is basically when we broke through the 350 level on the upside, and now to see if the 360 level can come out as far as the D's corn. We're seeing a lot of corn that, because of the drug out harvest and because of the way it is, finding it a little easier to find storage or find bin room. And the elevators had time to clean out in between after some of the storms. So it isn't the glut that we were looking for the dip that we were hoping to buy. And I'm not sure that we're going to get as low as we thought we were going to during the end of this harvest. So it's trying to decide, you know, where do we want to possibly re-own some stuff for the guys that did make some sales early.
All right. Anything else to add before I let you go for the afternoon?
No, I think we want to keep an eye on the meal and the oil market and see what palm does for tonight. But the dollar is the big influence right now.
Okay. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Todd.
That's Wayne Nelson. He's with L&M Commodities out of Newmarket, Indiana. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media for this Tuesday afternoon. You can listen to him again anytime you'd like at WILLAG.org. Yesterday afternoon, the United States Department of Agriculture released the weekly crop progress report. It shows that as of the 16th day, or Sunday in October, 46% of the corn crop around the nation had been harvested. That compares to the rolling five-year average of 49%. The crop condition remains good at 54% good and 20% excellent. 96% of the soybeans are dropping leaves compared to 94% on the normal five-year average. 62% of that crop has been harvested. 63% is the five-year average. It's said to be in 53% good and 21% excellent condition. Now here are updates from Illinois and Iowa, Indiana, and Minnesota.
This is Doug Hartwig, Deputy Director for USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service. Field work was slowed by damp, foggy conditions, but farmers were able to make some harvest progress. Many farmers reported waiting for crops to dry down in the field before harvesting and concentrating on corn rather than soybeans. Other activities for the week included fall tillage, manure and fertilizer applications, and seeding of cover crops. 97% of the corn crop was mature, 3 days behind last year, but 1 day ahead of the five-year average. 33% of the corn crop for grain was harvested, 4 days behind last year, and almost 1 week behind average. Moisture content for field corn being harvested was at 18%. Corn condition rated at 82% good to excellent. 96% of the soybeans were dropping leaves, equal to the five-year average. 62% of the soybeans have been harvested, 6 days behind last year's pace. Pasture condition was rated at 62% good to excellent. Livestock conditions were described as good. That is the Iowa Weekly Crop Progress and Condition Report. I'm Doug Hartwig, Deputy Director for USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Upper Midwest Region.
This is Mark Schleusener, State Statistician for Illinois with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service. Harvest activities continued across Illinois last week, and winter wheat planting advanced as well. The state averaged slightly more than one-third of an inch of rain last week, which was 17 one-hundredths of an inch below normal. Temperatures were 3 to 4 degrees above normal last week. Corn harvest advanced by 11 points and is now 73% finished, behind last year's pace of 81% and ahead of the five-year average of 63%. Soybean harvest is now 58% finished, well behind last year's pace of 81% and 5 points behind the five-year average of 63% complete. The condition of the soybean crop was rated 4% very poor to poor, 14% fair, and 82% good to excellent, the same as 1 week ago. Winter wheat planting is now 43% complete, up 23 points from 1 week ago, but well behind last year's progress of 57% and the five-year average of 50%. 14% of the wheat crop has emerged. The sorghum crop is now 88% mature and 49% harvested, compared to 93% mature and 57% harvested normally. This has been Mark Schleusener with the Illinois Field Office of the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
This is Dan Loftus, State Statistician for the USDA NASS Minnesota Field Office. Almost one quarter of the soybean acreage was harvested in Minnesota during the week. There were 5.3 days suitable for field work, the most days suitable since the first week of August. While the drier weather allowed harvest in most areas, there were reports of fields or spots in fields still too wet to harvest. Field activities for the week included harvesting and fall tillage. With almost all of Minnesota's corn acreage mature, 31% of the corn for grain was harvested. That's 6 days behind the 5-year average and 5 days behind last year. Corn moisture content of grain at harvest was 19%. Corn condition rated 86% good to excellent, and that's up 1 percentage point from the previous week. Virtually all of the corn for silage acreage had been harvested. 87% of the soybean acreage was harvested, that's slightly ahead of average, but 1 week behind last year. 50% of the sunflower acreage was harvested, just ahead of average, but 1 week behind last year. 98% of the potato acreage had been harvested, and that's ahead of average. And advancing 31 percentage points from the previous week, 71% of the sugar beet crop was harvested. That's 2 days behind the average pace. For the USDA NAS, Minnesota Field Office, this is Dan Loftus.
This is Janice Pressbury with the Great Lakes Regional Office of the National Agricultural Statistics Service with the Indiana Crop and Weather Report for the week ending October 16, 2016. Corn matured was 97% complete compared to 96% last year and 93% 5-year average. Corn harvested for grain was 52% complete compared to 59% last year and 44% 5-year average. Farmers reported harvesting more corn than soybeans as a result of the rain. Corn harvested for grain is above the 5-year average and on track to pass last year. There have been numerous reports of diplodia ear rot in corn, but yields are still expected to be good. Soybeans dropping leaves was 96% complete compared to 98% last year and 96% 5-year average. Soybeans harvested was 54% complete compared to 75% last year and 54% 5-year average. Soybean harvest progress slowed due to rain. Farmers reported having difficulty harvesting soybeans due to green stems and their height. Other activities for the week included fall tillage, drying and hauling grain to elevators, seeding winter wheat, and planting cover crops. This is Janice Pressbury reporting.
Our thanks, of course, go to the state statisticians for their weekly updates of crop progress across the Corn Belt. Hey, don't forget to visit our website. The address there is willag.org. There you'll find not only our ag programming, some extra stories that come from the Illini Farm Report, the Farm Doc website, some of the news stories I find of interest. You'll also find a way to purchase your tickets for the Farm Assets Conference. That's coming up the 22nd day of November, not very far away now, and you need to get those tickets now. They're just $30. It'll be a great day in Normal, Illinois at the Marriott. The venue is fantastic there, just off the Illinois State University campus in Normal at the Marriott again. Starts relatively early in the morning. All the details are there if you want to come in for the 8 a.m. Illinois Corn Growers Annual Conference. You can do that for their meeting, and then immediately following that, starting at 10:30, we'll pick up with the Farm Assets Conference. We'll start with a listening session about the Farm Bill. The commodity associations and the major farm organizations in the state will be taking some of your opinions. I'll be directing some of that. Jonathan Kappas will help you through it too. He's a policy expert here on campus. And then we'll begin the process of thinking about the rest of the day, including a corn outlook and soybean outlook marketing panel, along with a whole bunch of other things happening at the Farm Assets Conference. It's just $30. And frankly, if you come, you'll get that $30 back. The associations are going to give you that back if you're there for their listening session. So it's really a great deal. Come in for the Farm Assets Conference the 22nd day of November, but you need to order your tickets right now. You can do that at willag.org. Here are a couple of the agricultural news stories for the afternoon. Ambassadors from TPP countries say they're remaining fully engaged with the United States to push for the deal's ratification this year, but that doesn't mean they haven't also been working on alternative plans in case it doesn't work out. Plans that don't involve the United States, a pair of high-ranking foreign officials warned on Monday. "We've all got our plan Bs," New Zealand's ambassador to the U.S., Tim Grosser, said at a Global Innovation Forum event. The tragedy would be that the Plan Bs that we have would not involve the United States. Grosser said he and his staff have been meeting continuously with members of Congress, their staffs, and leading Democrats and leading Republicans at all levels, though he declined to name any lawmakers. The New Zealand delegation remains fully engaged and will be accelerating its efforts throughout the rest of the year, he said, adding the U.S. has been not only an ally but an architect of the global trading system. But if the United States gets stuck in a hole, he says, do not for 1 minute think that the 11 other TPP countries, Trans-Pacific Partnership, are going to sit in that hole with them. And the other story is food and ag-related. Dannon says it was blindsided yesterday when a half-dozen ag groups lobbied against the company's plan to shift away from GMO ingredients. Dannon execs say they were surprised to receive what they call a divisive and misinformed letter about efforts to continue to grow America's enjoyment of dairy products, including yogurt. Part of the reason for the surprise was Dannon's announcement Monday was not entirely new. Back in April, Dannon announced it would switch to non-GMO dairy feed for three of its flagship brands, and next year would begin labeling products that still have genetically modified ingredients. Responding to the blowback, Dannon says it stands by its sustainability claims, noting it has built a direct and transparent relationship with dairy farmers. In its view, however, the American Farm Bureau Federation calls the marketing campaign flimflam, pure and simple. That, along with other ag groups, including the Soybean Association, it appears to be an attempt to gain lost sales from your competitors, they write, by using fear-based marketing and trendy buzzwords, not through any actual improvements in your products. Such disingenuous tactics and marketing puffery are certainly not becoming a company as well known as respected as Dannon. Neither farmers nor consumers say the ag groups should be used as pawns in food marketing wars. And that's a look at today's agricultural news. This is the closing market report for the 18th day of October. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Let's wrap up our time together this afternoon. But take a look at the weather forecast as usual for a Tuesday. Don Day is here. He's with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Good afternoon to you, Don.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Boy, it's been windy here. We've had a little rain, but more importantly, I think it's been really, really warm. Any of those things sticking around? Any of them going away anytime soon?
Well, we are going to see some cooler air settling into the Midwest. Behind all of this wind, a cooler air mass of Pacific origin will be coming in. Now, that means it's not going to be terribly cold, but it will be able to throttle back temperatures a little bit here for the next several days. So we do see some cooler weather coming our way, more October-like. But there's still going to be bouts where the rest of this month we will still have some warm periods. We do see in our long-range trends pattern developing right at the end of October and into the first week of November that for many parts of the nation does look colder, more unsettled. So we can see the writing on the wall, but it's still a couple of weeks away before we can get into a more persistent colder pattern.
Farmers working feverishly to get through the harvest season across the Corn Belt. They've had a little rainfall, probably not much to really slow them down. Do you see anything in the offing that could stop the combines?
Well, I don't see a big soaker coming, at least here for the rest of this week. And there is going to be some rain in the eastern Corn Belt, Indiana, Ohio, in particular, Wednesday night into Thursday, that could cause some slowdowns there in the eastern side of the belt. Central and western belt will be drier. After that, it'll probably be several days, not until probably the middle of next week, before the next rain chance moves in. So any delays will be in the eastern Corn Belt, but short-lived.
Planters have been rolling in Brazil, parts of Argentina. What can you tell me about the beginning of their season?
Well, they have had a trend here recently that's been a little more wet, especially for Argentina. And that's how things are looking, especially in the short term. Both Brazil and Argentina here, throughout the course of the next several days, have some really good chances of rain. So soil moisture, which was a bit scant, has been improving there.
And can you tell me about the winter wheat crop in the southern hemisphere? So that would catch Argentina, maybe Australia.
Well, I would say, you know, first for Argentina, I would say that the recent trend towards wetter weather is going to put them in good shape. If we were to go over and then, you know, and I would say same areas for parts of Brazil where there's some wheat country as well, I think they're heading into at least the start of the season in pretty good shape. Now, if we were to go to Australia and look at precipitation and conditions, well, the outlook for Australia is a little cooler than normal, and right now the rainfall chances are looking fairly good. So for many of the wheat areas in the southern hemisphere, with El Nino gone, this does bode well for their seasons coming on up.
Don, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks, Don. Don Day is with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. If you're a Twitter user, you can follow him. His handle is at Balloon Weather, and weather is abbreviated to WX. My handle, by the way, for Twitter is at Commodity Week. Some great information can be picked up really quickly right there on Twitter. Also, you can find it on willag.org, willag.org. While you're there, why don't you go ahead and pick up your tickets for the Farm Assets Conference, too. That's November the 22nd, or just visit farmassetsconference.com.